Hey, everybody. Welcome. We are back once again. It is it's Thursday. Thursday is new podcast day. It's January 11th here. Thank you all for joining. I appreciate it. So some stuff to go over, some new stuff, changes, et cetera. So as always, I'm glad you could join us here. So we've got some stuff to talk about today, some interesting topics, some requested topics, in fact, some topics that came up via conversations with clients that I wanted to expand upon here as well. So what's been going on? I've been kind of on a little bit of a hiatus. So I took a vacation at the end of December. We talked about that last week briefly. And since then, I've just really been kind of playing catch up more than anything else. And I've been kind of absent on social media. If you look at my Instagram feed, it's very anemic of late. Haven't really done much on Facebook. Been taking a little break from YouTube as well. So that's all kind of ramping back up. But the podcast soldiers on. We will not miss an episode here. So things that are a little bit different, however. So I'm not doing a video for this one simply because if you've been watching videos before, you know I'm really struggling with the light here and like this blinding light that comes in through this giant window in front of me. There are blinds that will be showing up today, but for right now, I'm just foregoing the video. So no live broadcasting. Also, I'm not going to be posting these to YouTube in the future as well. So I may throw up a little brief video explaining why, but basically I don't feel, I mean, here's the thing. I have high standards as far as quality of content that I put out. And the video version of the podcast, I'll be honest with you, it sucks. I mean, it's just me sitting in a chair looking like a dumb piece of crap and just talking, occasionally looking at the camera. There's nothing that gets added visually. It takes a lot of time to render and upload the video. And you know, it takes a fair bit of time to do the very minimal editing that has to be done. Rendering it takes time, uploading it takes time, coming up with the graphics for it takes time. It's not getting a lot of views, and honestly, the podcast was always envisioned as an audio thing anyway, so I will be discontinuing the published video portion of it. I'll probably be doing Instagram live video in the future still, maybe not every week, but regularly at least. So I'm just going forward. If you're listening to this and you have been checking it out on YouTube as well, sorry, but it will be just audio only from here on out. So, anyway, what's been going on? So it's been, you know, a week for me of, trying new things and, discovery, experimentation, I guess you could say. So last week, I went in for my first ever massage on Wednesday. So I'm 40. I'll be 41 years old in a couple months. Never had a massage. So the reasons for this, and, you know, we'll go ahead. You know, this episode, I'm going to talk more about myself than I usually do. So I'll just start with that right now. A massage has always seemed just completely and totally unappealing, like more of a stressful thing than a relaxing thing, simply because, and here's a weird little quirk about me, I don't like people touching me, especially people I don't know. So while I have many reasons to fear going to the dentist, one of the reasons is I just don't like somebody up in my personal space like that. I don't like going in for a haircut, same thing. I don't like going into the doctor, not because I feel like they're going to tell me something bad. I just, you know, I don't want people's hands on me. Like when people in social situations, they like put their hand on my shoulder, I'm like, ew, stop it. You know, it's a weird thing. So it got to the point though where my performance in the gym, like my mobility, flexibility, just general tightness and how uncooperative my body is being, it gets to the point where I realize I need to put a greater emphasis on flexibility, on stretching, and I know that some tissue work is going to be a part of that as well. So I sucked it up. I went in on Wednesday last week. I actually went back on Friday of last week, and then I had another one yesterday. So that's like three in a week. I do feel better, especially getting some deep tissue work done on my back. It's like it feels a lot better, and I didn't really realize that it was a problem before. So my hips and quads are still going to be a work in progress. That's going to take some time. But at any rate, I guess 2018 is a year about, you know, trying new things and challenging oneself a little bit. So that's my my foray into that. But otherwise, it's been, you know, kind of trucking on with the diet, pretty much just holding steady on the scale for me. I'm still clocking in somewhere between 233 and 235. So comfortable with it. You know, workouts have been going well, except for legs. Legs have been a real, real struggle just because everything hurts and it's hard to push with a decent level of intensity. Just like, even just trying to get some blood flow and a decent pump on a basic isolation exercise, it just isn't coming very easily. So I'm experimenting with a few things and trying to work through that and figure out what needs to happen there. I think, you know, part of it is related to the aforementioned mobility, flexibility, et cetera. But, you know, I think certainly I could do a better job on hydration as well. I could get a more elaborate warm up, give myself more time on those days. So, you know, we're going to continue troubleshooting basically. So, it was mentioned as a topic. You know, one thing that we're going to talk about in the second segment here today, is the discussion of natural bodybuilders doing shows that are not drug tested, which of course is totally fine. It's just there are some considerations that are worth examining there. So we're going to talk about that in the second segment. So typically the way this thing works is usually I do about a 5-minute intro and then about 2 20-minute segments. So if you're ever kind of scouring through and you're like, this first topic doesn't really apply to me, Darren's about to start talking to himself, start talking about himself, I don't want to hear this, great, just skip ahead 20 minutes. And, you know, I don't necessarily plan it out like that. It's just, I think that's kind of like by default. My brain tends to put things together in segments that are about that long for whatever reason. So I never script or time these things or anything, but in general, those segments end up being about 20 minutes long. So it's a 45-minute podcast usually. Anyway, the first thing, and this was a suggestion from someone through Instagram, it was about sharing my story and how I got started in all this and why I do what I do. And I'm like, you know what? That's actually, that might be helpful just because... first of all, again, 2018, new year, new experiences, new challenges. I typically hate talking about myself, so I won't make a habit of it, but I figure there could be some insight available. And also just as a curiosity, I think, just to open up a little bit, get accustomed to talking about myself a little bit more, it's probably, you know, probably good for me. So to some extent, I think we can certainly cross a line on that where it's like, okay, dude, shut up. We've heard enough. So why do I do this? So, and what does my journey look like and how did I get here? You know, a few different stories that we could kind of weave together there. So basically, like, you know, growing up, I always thought that bodybuilding was cool. Like, you know, and I think, you know, most of us, especially guys, I think we can relate to that. Like seeing Arnold and the other guys in the 80s and the 90s, you know, depending on how old you are, you know, that was, you know, I was born in 77. So in my formative years, it was right around 1990 or so. It was my early teens. So, going, you know, into that like middle school, high school age, I'm like, that looks really cool. But, you know, nobody in my family was really into that or anything. So just going and talking to somebody about a gym membership, it wasn't really, you know, I certainly wouldn't have been criticized for it, but it just wasn't something where it's like, well, this is really what my family does. You know, we're more like, you know, scholarly type people, you know, we're into the arts more than anything else. So that's me and my brothers. You know, I have one brother who's a library administrator and another who's a math professor. We all did, you know, we did, you know, either books. My older brother and I did theater. We both did music. We did choir, et cetera. That was just kind of where things were. And so you kind of work yourself into a certain niche and you get comfortable there. And, you know, when I was younger and even to this day still, you work yourself into that niche and people kind of, you know, learn what to expect of you. And there's a part of me inside that doesn't want to surprise people or upset people, or, you know, I don't want to defy their expectations. So I'm kind of over that at this point. I don't really give a shit anymore. So I think, you know, just old age and cynicism help nip that in the bud to some degree. But so it was never really something that I did growing up. But once I got out on my own, you know, like right out of high school, almost immediately, well, you know, when was it? I don't know, less than a year out of high school. You know, I dropped out of college. I got married and, you know, made a whole bunch of really stupid decisions, you know, got a decent job. And then I was kind of off to the races and like, okay, well, forget college. All right. And that marriage didn't last, you know, that was short lived. But, and then, you know, it was around that time where I kind of realized, hey, I was always into this bodybuilding thing. I should give it a shot. And ever since then, I've gone to the gym regularly with varying degrees of intensity. and oftentimes, especially early on, not having any effing clue what I was doing at all. Like, I remember my my roommate and coworker at the time, Jonathan, shout out, Mr. Sassy, how you doing out there? We would go to Gold's Gym in Corvallis, and we'd just go fart around, not really have any idea what we were doing, and then we'd go out to a diner for our post-workout meal and have some, like, cheese fries and stuff like that. So, you know, that was how I got my start. That was what my early 20s looked like. But I think, you know, and this is, you know, not to put myself in a therapist's office or a psychiatrist's couch or anything like that, but one of the things that really influenced me growing up and kind of put me on this direction was the fact that, you know, going through puberty and early adolescence, like, I had just horrible, horrible acne, to the point where it's like, you know, I would go into the dermatologist, I was put on Accutane, which isn't, you know, completely unheard of. There were some lesions that they actually had to cauterize, that I still, you know, I've got huge scars from those as well. So, it was one of those things where from a relatively early age, I was like, all right, I'm never taking my shirt off anywhere ever again. Like, that's the end of it. So, I started to see bodybuilding as a way where I could kind of, you know, change myself in a way where I wouldn't necessarily have to expose myself. You know, I could have some control over my body anyway, even though I feel like a certain degree of that freedom had kind of been taken away from me, so to speak. So, that was kind of what planted the seed as far as, like, I'm going to do this. Like, okay, yeah, it's one thing to think it's cool. Like, you could think, NASCAR is cool, but what's actually going to make you get in a car and go do it? So same thing. Like, I thought bodybuilding was cool, but it's also a big undertaking. What is the seed that's going to, you know, how does that get planted in you to the point where you actually undertake it and start to do it? And for me, that was it. So I just wanted to have some degree of control, maybe a little bit of, you know, compensation or overcompensation as well. But, you know, whatever it was, it's what kind of got me going. And then from there, you know, for just starting out, I had no clue what I was doing. I was getting no results, had no consistency, didn't know what intensity was, didn't know what a diet was, other than the fact that I thought that if I would take some whey protein that I'd get jacked all of a sudden. So, and you know, I mean, I know a lot of people out there listening like, yeah, I've been there too. Yeah. or maybe some people are like, wait, that's not how it works. What? So definitely a bit of a slow start, but then I got more into it. I started reading more, you know, this was in the early days of the internet. So if you wanted to learn more, I remember it was actually Usenet groups. If anybody's old enough to remember those, there were some bodybuilding ones. And then, you know, eventually a site like bodybuilding.com came around. They had forums there. There were forums elsewhere where you could go and converse with people. And that's really when things started to take off. So, just because, you know, I could go and I could learn a lot on my own and I could figure some things out. But then being able to have the conversation with other people, you know, meeting some people in the gym who were, you know, certainly on a higher level than I was, and just absorbing some stuff from them as well. And that kind of continued and it kind of went on and I just enjoyed doing it. I didn't have any competitive aspirations. I just wanted to get big. So, you know, I wouldn't have to take my shirt off to impress anybody. That was always the goal. So, and it's, I got to tell you, I'm just happy that I can laugh about it right now because this was a real sore spot for many, many, many years. So, and at any rate, so around the time I was, you know, late 20s, you know, I was in a different relationship then, and, you know, we would go to the gym together, and we were both a little bit more into it. And that's when I started kicking around the idea, like, hey, maybe I should compete. You know, I kind of have some interest in this. And then met some people who were, you know, active competitive bodybuilders and, you know, kicking around some ideas with them, you know, the kind of thing like, hey, I can write a diet for you. And it's like on the back of a napkin, that kind of thing. So I start to get a better sense then of, you know, what proper dieting looks like. And to be clear, this was all like complete and total bro science bullshit back then. So I know that now, but back in the day, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. I can't believe somebody's just going to give this to me. This is great. And I mean, it was crap, but you know, little by little, you learn a little bit and you can start to identify those things and you find out what's useful, what's less useful. And it goes on from there. So, and, you know, competitions come and go. Eventually, you know, my first show was I started out in Oregon. I'd moved to Asheville, North Carolina. I'm currently in Knoxville. But when I lived in Asheville, I did my first show there, kind of popped my cherry. And that's when I really was like, okay. And it kind of struck me right then, like, I don't really like, you know, the competitive aspect of it. on show day, I thought it was cool. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm an introvert. I hate hanging out backstage with all these people. You know how you're in the gym and you got like your headphones on. And you're just hoping that nobody talks to you. I'm like that backstage too. I mean, surrounded by people who all have a very common interest. And I'm still just like, I hope nobody talks to me. I don't want to have to talk with anybody. There's people all over the place, people playing their intimidation games and stupid shit like that. And, judging is fair. It's not fair. The show is chaos. It's organized chaos. It's unorganized chaos, whatever it is. And that was where I was kind of like, the competitive aspect of this doesn't appeal too much to me, but I really do enjoy the process. And so, if the competition is a part of it or not, it's kind of irrelevant at that stage, I think. So, having some familiarity with how, shows work on a competitive level is, of course, necessary, especially if you're going to be a coach. But I consider myself, as far as competition is concerned, I consider myself to be, semi-retired. And the great thing about retirement is you can always come out of it. It's not exactly an official thing. So, I've been kicking around the idea of maybe doing a show this year. It's been a while for me, but I may. It's kind of on the shelf as an idea, at least. So it is a thought in a head somewhere. So, and at any rate, I was working, regular jobs at that point, like boring person jobs. I worked for a company that did digital signage. And then I decided, I was going to go back to school. I was going to go back to school for civil engineering. And so I did that at, my late 20s. I went back to school and, unlike my first attempt at college, when I went as, get this, a music major, what are you going to do with that, Darren? And to all you music majors out there listening, nothing but respect for you. I hope you're successful. But at the same time, I thought I was going to be a music teacher, I guess. And looking back on it now, I was like, what the hell was I thinking? I don't like kids. Why the hell would I want to be a teacher? My wife's a teacher right now. Do I envy her job? Hell no. Good Lord. If there is one job on earth I think I'm unqualified to do completely, it's being a teacher. So I'm glad it didn't work out. That first attempt in college as a music major was short-lived, and I was extremely unsuccessful. And one of the biggest challenges for me was, I remember, college algebra. I sucked at it. I was horrible. Part of it was just that I didn't apply myself, but I just didn't grasp the concepts at all. So eventually, I got a bug in my ear that I was going to go back to college, and I was going to go for engineering because, hey, you don't need college algebra for that, do you? At any rate, a few years additional maturity close to 10 years, makes a world of difference. Going back to college in my late 20s, it was so easy. Everything was a breeze. Everything was more focused. It was A's across the board. I actually got a B in multivariable calculus, and I thought it was the end of the world. So it was much easier the second time around. And then there was an internship program where they say, hey, take a term off and then go hit an internship with a company, and it lasts, however many months. I can't remember what it was. And that ended up, for me, I ended up moving, a couple hours up north. And, when you're a college student, you're living out of a dorm or a frat house or shared housing on campus or whatever, that's one thing. When you're living with your girlfriend, you've got bills, et cetera. And it's like, ugh, unappealing, but I felt like this is the way to go. So, that internship was what really changed everything for me. That's what opened my eyes to realize that, hey, engineering is fun in the classroom. In practice, the actual application of it, oh dear Lord, I did not like that. And part of it was the company that I was interning with was undergoing a lot of internal chaos. Trust me, there's a point to this story. Stick with me. where they were undergoing a lot of internal chaos, but also just talking with the guys there who'd worked in other firms, I got a sense of what it was like to actually be a working engineer. And I decided this isn't for me. So I cut that internship short, went back home, and had a talk with my girlfriend. I'm like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. So I'm going to take a term off and think about it. And so I needed something to do. So I went back to work part-time for the company that I was with before. And then I'm like, well, I'd still been going to the gym and working out this whole time. So I had kind of a reputation among my my engineering student colleagues of being the resident meathead. So because I was at that point, I knew what I was doing with nutrition. I had a much better idea of how to be effective with everything. I was carrying my meals around with me everywhere I went, that kind of stuff. So So I said, hey, you know what? I'm just going to take a little time here while I'm taking this term off and working part-time, study up, get my personal training certification, and, you know, just so I can have that, and then maybe I can do a little bit of that on the side. And that was pretty much the end of the story right there. So I got that certification, enjoyed it, even though it was ACSM, which is a terrible program. I know American College of Sports Medicine sounds super legit, horrible certification program. If anybody's recommending anything, go with ISSA or NASM or something like that. Don't go with ACSM. It was a joke. At any rate, so I started working as a personal trainer. So shout out to John, Randy, and Aaron at Pro Fitness in Eugene for giving me a shot there. Aaron Orton, one of my he was probably my first real mentor in bodybuilding. You can look him up. He's a great, good, very good guy, great bodybuilder as well. So learned a lot there, you know, really enjoyed what I was doing. And that's when I kind of realized, you know, this is probably what I'm going to make my career out of at this point. I feel like I can do this. I have all the skills necessary to do it. You know, that's at the point when I moved to North Carolina, picked up the same thing there, was very successful working with people. And then I started doing a little bit of coaching on the side as well, online coaching, because that's what I really wanted to do. I wanted to work with other bodybuilders because that's where my passion lied. My passion didn't lie with necessarily working with people that, you know, only showed up for their workout because I was waiting for them. They didn't want to do it. I wanted to work with people that enjoyed doing this, that really wanted to take their body to the next level, whether for competitive reasons or not. So I started doing a little bit of that on the side. And then ultimately, after a few years and, you know, some moderate success with it, you know, a few clients here and there, nothing big, but primarily working with people in person. That along that time, I met my wife, and I decided I was going to move from Asheville to Knoxville and live with her before we were married. And so at that point, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to set myself up at a new gym in Knoxville. You know, the point is, you know, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to try and make a go of this doing it 100% online. And that was close to 5 years ago. And when I made the jump, I had a number in mind for like how many clients I needed to be able to sustain myself and be successful. And, I was able to meet that, by moving day and, never looked back since then. So that's in a nutshell, my story. So, you know, people talk about, you know, I get a lot of questions from people like, what's your experience like? You know, how did you learn this stuff? What are your certifications? And the main thing that I tell people is there is no certification that can make you an effective bodybuilding coach, a prep coach. There's just nothing out there that does it. I remember, I don't know if he still has it going on, but I know Lee Haney was doing some kind of certification program, and I actually met him, and he tried to sell me on it, and I don't know if he's still doing that or what. But you know, any personal training certification, completely and totally 100% irrelevant for bodybuilding purposes. Now, you can learn some anatomy in there, which is great. You'll learn some dietary stuff that really has no practical application for bodybuilders. You'll learn useless skills like how to check your blood pressure using a sphygmomanometer. You'll learn all kinds of calculations about VO2 max and stuff, which is completely and totally irrelevant for bodybuilding as well. So the best experience and the best teacher for bodybuilding and helping other people doing it is doing it yourself. There's really no substitution for that. And short of that, there's no qualification out there that is really relevant either. So I think that's the big thing. And that's one of the main reasons. I mean, you know, I keep doing it because I enjoy it. I really do. There are days where I enjoy it more than others. There are weeks where I enjoy it more than others. But I do it because, big picture, I enjoy it. It helps me provide a little bit of focus. At this point, you know, I still certainly have my physical insecurities, but not because, you know, I've built my physique into this awesome thing or anything. I mean, trust me, if you can hear the sarcasm dripping off my voice when I say that. But I'm just over it. You know, I mean, maturity and age certainly helps. And I would certainly consider myself to be a late bloomer on that subject. But nonetheless, I'm here now. So I don't feel like what got me started is what keeps me driving towards it. But just the fact that I did start on it and I kind of got moving in that direction and then just kind of fell in love with it. And that's what sustains it right now. So and also the fact that, you know, it is my career. It's how I make a living. So I can't really quit. You know, it's kind of baked into the cake at this point as part of the recipe. So I've got to keep doing it. But nonetheless, if I didn't enjoy it, then certainly my life would be less than what it is currently. So I certainly embrace it, and I certainly am appreciative of the opportunity to do this as well. So anyway, that's my story. So it's not super exciting or anything like that, but you know, I talk with a lot of people who tell me their stories, and I'm like, wow, that is really motivating. I don't have anything like that. And you know, everybody's story is their own, though. And so that is mine. That is the unvarnished truth, 100%. That's all there is to it. So there you go. So topic number two, the other thing that I wanted to discuss today was, you know, I have a client who she's looking to compete in her first figure show this year. And she's a natural, and she's like, hey, am I going to be at a disadvantage if I do a show that's not drug tested? And so, I mean, The answer there is yeah, you are. But the more accurate answer is a lot more nuanced than that. So, and this happens a lot. You know, I work with a lot of men and women. You know, I work with natural athletes. I work with enhanced athletes. I work with everybody. So you've certainly got to know what you're doing if you are going to sell yourself as anything other than a natural bodybuilding coach. You have to be familiar with the compounds, the chemistry, all of that stuff. So, and by no means do I consider myself a chemist, but I certainly understand the essentials for all of that stuff. So, but you know, I work with a lot of people as naturals, and you know, one of the things that that we always talk about when trying to pick a show, you know, there are certain things that you have to consider, like the date and the location are always the two most important factors when picking a show, because it has to be at a time that works for you, and it has to be at a place that you can get to. So, you know, we all have what we consider to be our acceptable travel radius. And for some people that's, you know, I want to do something in my hometown. That's going to be pretty limiting. You might have one option, maybe two if you're lucky and if you live in the right place. Other people, you know, I'll drive within 3 hours. Okay, that opens things up. And other people are like, I'll drive 10 hours or I'll fly. I don't care. I just want it to be the right show. All right, cool. So we got a lot more options there. So more practically, however, the usual travel radius for a show is a little bit more limited. And so we kind of settle on a date and a radius that we're looking for geographically, and then we start exploring options. And so there's two main options, and just, you know, if you're looking for a show for yourself, the way to do it is go to Google and type in NPC and then the name of your state or the name of a neighboring state that's close by. Like I'm here in Tennessee, so in East Tennessee. So if I was looking for a show within a 3-hour radius, I would search for, you know, NPC Tennessee, which is TennesseeBodybuilding.org, I can't remember. I would look for NPC Kentucky, NPC Georgia, NPC Alabama, and see if there's anything in the northern part of the state, and NPC North Carolina, and see if there's anything in the western part of the state, which there isn't. But you know, I would search for those areas nearby to try and find a show. So that's for NPC shows, and typically those are not going to be drug tested. The exceptions would be if something is an NPC natural blah blah blah, then yeah, it's going to be a drug tested show. To my knowledge, I have not come across, that I'm aware of, a natural NPC show that does not have the word natural in the name of the show. And most of those are going to be like in the Midwest and like, you know, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, the Dakotas. You're going to find more natural shows in that region. Why? I have no idea. But like the Northeast, the Southeast, the South, very, very few of those NPC shows are going to be drug tested. So and then the other thing, so you Google NPC and then the name of your state, or you go to naturalbodybuildingevents.com and you click on events by state, and then you kind of ferret around there and see what you can find. So you can click on your state. You can search for neighboring states as well. They're organized by region there. And so that covers organizations like OCB, the, you know, IFPA, AFPA, all of the alphabet soup of natural organizations as well. IPL, you know, whatever. And ANBF, I could go on and on. It's like every time I think I've thought of the last one, another one comes to my head. You could also, if you're interested, one thing that isn't going to be covered by that is the WBFF, which if you go to WBFFshows.com, last I checked, their website is just an absolute train wreck. It is the most overproduced pile of shit I've ever seen in my life. Hard to navigate, and just a mess. But you can look at their schedule as well. They don't have a lot of shows, and it's really just the big cities for the most part. So, but nonetheless, they do put on a good production. You know, I have some serious issues and complaints with the WBFF, but they do put on a quality production every time. You can't say the same for the NPC, and you certainly can't say the same for a lot of those natural organizations, the OCB being one very, very consistent exception. OCB always puts on a quality show as well. And by that, I'm talking about the level of production. Like, you go there, and does it feel like you're at something special? You know, as a participant, does it feel like you're at a special show? With the OCB, yes. With the WBFF, absolutely. With the other shows, it's hit or miss. You know, some of the NPC shows are a little bit more rinky-dink. Some of them are almost too elaborate and too big. The other natural organizations, the ones that are not in the OCB family, are more consistently going to be really small-time affairs. Not universally, but more often than not. So one of the big things that I ask people is, and specifically, you know, natural athletes that I'm working with, if somebody's enhanced, the situation gets a lot easier. The only thing you can do is a non-drug tested show. If anybody wanted to work with me and say, hey, you know, what can we do to squeeze me into this natural show? I'd be like, you can find a new coach. That's what you can do, because I ain't playing that game. Look at the guidelines for the show. Now, that being said, I will follow the guidelines. So if they say they want you 7 years drug free and you've used stuff in the past, but not in the past 7 years, hell yeah, I'll help you prep for that show, because we're following the damn rules. If they want you to be lifetime free and you haven't used in like 10 years, I'm sorry. No, we can't do it. And I've worked with people before who had used stuff previously. And you know, we were planning on doing this natural show. They didn't disclose to me that they'd used previously. You know, they ran something for like 4 weeks or whatever. And then you said, you know, clearly didn't help or do much of anything, but I'm a stickler for that. I'm like, you tell me that. And you know, no, we're not doing that show. We got to play by the rules. So if you're enhanced, great. You're looking at an NPC show most likely, and not one of the natural ones, which, you know, as I mentioned, there aren't a ton of those. So for a natural competitor, though, the question becomes, what do you want to get out of this competitive experience? And that's the big question that I ask people. So one of the things to consider is, you know, Do you want to do a show where it feels like you're actually getting something for your money? And by for your money, I mean, like, you know, you've got the expenses of, you know, for women, especially the suit, the shoes. You've also got hair and makeup. For everybody, there's, you know, tanning, there's registration, there's an organization card, there's travel expenses, all this stuff, the work that you put into it. When you actually get to the show, if it's somewhere in, like, you know, if it's somewhere in like a small hotel's convention room and the stage is 6 inches off the ground and there's no special lighting or anything like that, are you going to be okay with that? If it's in a middle school auditorium somewhere and it's, you know, there's 80 people out in the audience, are you going to be okay with that? Or do you want to go to something where you're in like a giant ballroom with a legit stage, with a huge sound system and with an elaborate light system? Does that matter to you? You know, does the level of production matter to you? And for some people it does. And I would say for me, it does. If I'm going to go through all of that expense and put in the effort, I don't want to get to the show and be like, what is my entry fee paying for? Where is the production value? You know, if I'm going to invite family and friends to come and watch me here, am I going to be embarrassed at the venue? Those are things to consider. Are they the only consideration? No. And for some people, it won't be relevant. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is a consideration. So ask yourself that. And then you can kind of, certainly there are exceptions, and I mentioned OCB being one of them. They typically put on very, very good shows, but a lot of the other natural organizations, you're going to find yourself looking at that and see, like, you know, where is the venue? And then you can kind of scope out what that place is like, et cetera. You're going to be in, you know, a school's auditorium a lot of the time, something like that. So, and also, you know, if the show has been consistently in the same venue, you can Google and find photos from previous year's shows, and you can kind of get a glimpse at the background and see what the room looks like a little bit, and you can kind of gauge and see if it's something that's important to you, what it's looked like in previous years. So that's the big question, is something like that important to you? Does production value matter at all? And if not, great. So that makes things a lot easier too. So, and then the other big question to consider is, how important is a level playing field to you? Because for some people, it doesn't matter. They don't care. Like, I want to go up and do my thing. And these are people that have a very realistic outlook. Like, you know, I would love to win, but most importantly, I just want to get up there and do my best. And if that's the case, then great. Maybe a level playing field isn't important. And for other people, they're natural, and you know, they feel very strongly about that. They're happy to be a natural. They don't want to they don't want to consider using anything that would take them out of that category, and they want to compete against other similar people. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So that's the other question: is how important? The two big questions are: how important is production value, and then how important is level playing field? So you answer those two questions, and you can start to really narrow down the type of show that you're looking for. So if the level playing field is important, then yes, a natural show is absolutely where you want to go. So naturalbodybuildingevents.com, search by state, or if you can find an NPC natural show near you. Keep in mind, the drug testing for these shows is not foolproof. More often than not, you're going to find a polygraph, which, any narcissist can convince themselves of the truth, and the polygraph accuracy is all in the questions that are asked. So it's hardly foolproof, but nonetheless it is a way to try and ensure some degree of legitimacy. Also, you will be paying for that polygraph, so with a natural show there's always the added expense of paying for the drug test, whether it's a urine test or a polygraph, so keep that in mind as well. So then let's say then, okay, so you're a natural athlete, you're doing, oh, great, there you go. Let's say you want something that's got a little bit more production value, and, you want a level playing field, but it's not the end-all be-all, or you're still open to, considering what it would be like as a natural athlete in an untested show. So this is where the conversation really takes off. So what can you expect? And this is going to be a very different conversation for men than it is for women. Not because women are all saints and they don't use anything, but there are so many divisions available, and clearly there are going to be some divisions that are going to be not necessarily conducive to using a lot of stuff that would be considered a banned substance at a natural show. So let's start the conversation with men, because it's a little bit more cut and dry. Basically, whatever division you're in, whether it's physique, classic physique, or bodybuilding, the chances of you, and whether we're talking novice or open, doesn't really matter, or masters, the likelihood of you getting up on stage as a natural athlete and being the only natural athlete up there, well, let me phrase that a different way. The likelihood of you getting up on stage in your class and having everybody else up there be natural in your class is very slim. Those shows are untested, and people take advantage of that. And to think that they don't, you're fooling yourself. So every class, just about guaranteed, is going to have somebody that would fail a drug test in there. So keep that in mind. That is, as a guy, regardless of the division that you're in, it doesn't matter. Now, as a woman, I've talked before about the various divisions available, so we'll skip fitness. We'll just leave that out of the conversation. We'll also skip bodybuilding and leave that out of the conversation, simply because most shows, there might be one person in fitness. There's probably no bodybuilding category at all. So we're talking bikini, figure, and women's physique. So in ascending order, that is how likely you are to find some level of drug use in those divisions. So bikini, less likely. Figure, more likely. Physique, more likely. Simply because the amount of muscle mass that's rewarded in those divisions increases as well as you go along that same continuum. So that being said, do not underestimate how common and prevalent it is for competitors to use clenbuterol and T3, even at the bikini level. Incredibly common. Very common. Some coaches would consider that standard, like standard issue. Okay, you're signing up for the show. Great. Here's your number. Here's where you go to buy your suit. Here's where you get your heels. And here's your source for your clenbuterol and T3. So go for it. So it is extremely common. Now, it's also important to differentiate here between novice and open. We'll leave masters out of the conversation for now. In novice, you're much more likely to as a woman, I would say maybe across the board for all divisions, you're more likely in the novice to get up on stage with maybe a majority or most of the class being natural. As you get into the open, though, and things get more competitive, you've got people who have won open classes before. You've got people who compete at a national level and are doing a show to re-up their national qualification or whatever. Certainly, you can compete at a high level and be natural. I don't want to suggest that you can't. But it takes a certain special something. Like, if you're going to be competitive at the national level in figure or physique as a natural, boy, you've got some crazy, crazy ass genetics. And work ethic. Again, if you've listened to me talk about this before, you know I'm not discounting anybody's work ethic. But work ethic is only going to take you so far if you've got shitty genetics. It really will. And that is the honest truth of bodybuilding. So I'm sorry if we're bursting anybody's bubble there. But I always just want to be realistic about this. So in figure and physique specifically, you know, if you're in the open, it is much more likely that you're going to be up there with women who have used something, whether it's an ancillary compound like clenbuterol T3, maybe an anti-estrogen like Nolvadex to keep those levels down so that you can lean out a little bit easier, whether it's an anabolic like Anavar, Winstrol, Primo, anything like that. It's more and more likely that you will encounter competition that is used or is using something like that at the open level. So if it's your first show, unless you've been working for this for a long time and you're planning on bringing an unreasonably polished physique to your first show compared to what people typically bring for their first show, if you've been working on this for years and you're finally like, all right, my time is here, I am ready, check me out, first show, boom, you know, under most circumstances, if it's your first show, I would recommend just doing the novice division. And if you want to cross over to open, that's fine. But novice is where you're really going to kind of get your feet under you. So in the novice division, if that's the plan, I would say, yeah, I think, you know, with the right work ethic, with reasonable genetics, as a natural athlete, you can absolutely be competitive in an NPC show. And I think, just to be clear also, because using stuff like that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be better than a natural athlete. It gives you an advantage. It doesn't do the work for you, though. So I've worked with plenty of natural athletes, men and women, who have beaten enhanced competition. And that's not to tout me like, hey, I'm so awesome. Check me out. Look at what I can have my clients do. Credit goes to them. You know what? I mean, they had good genetics. They had great work ethic. There was a plan set in place, but they're the ones that followed it. So, you know, at a novice level, I think, you know, a natural athlete in an untested show has a good chance of holding their own, especially if, you know, their work ethic is above average and they have decent genetics as well. If you have a really great work ethic and decent to good genetics, I think you can be competitive in the open level as well, especially in figure, just because, well, bikini and figure, because those, they don't reward development in the same way. You know, there's still, you know, the judging standards are still applied towards, you know, symmetry, balance, a certain aesthetic. Now what we're seeing with physique is more and more size is being rewarded. And so if you're not taking some kind of an anabolic, you're going to be at a disadvantage in physique for sure in the open level. I think, you know, in the novice physique, women's physique, as a natural athlete, I think you can still do well if, again, the work ethic is there, the consistency is there, and some level of genetic gift is available as well. If anybody can hear my dog, I think the mail is here. I don't know how much of the microphone is picking up right here, but I think the mailman just showed up. So at any rate, it's good timing because it's signifying pretty much the end of this topic. So I covered everything that I wanted to there. So you got to listen to me ramble on about my own personal story. Thank you for listening to that. You know, just so you know, it was asked. Somebody was curious. So. Then talking about, you know, competitive prospects for a natural athlete in a very unnatural world as well. So I appreciate you all listening through that. So a couple things here. First of all, I am aware that this podcast is having an audio issue where everything is coming out mono. So just be aware. I know of the problem. I have, you know, the tech support department is on it, and the tech support department will let everybody know as soon as things get fixed in that regard. So, AKA, I'm working on it. I'm trying to get the support for my my microphone interface device on board and helping me out with it. Lastly, reviews. Anybody that would that could go to iTunes and leave a review for this podcast, I would appreciate it so much. If you just pull up iTunes, either the app on your phone or the desktop app on your computer, just search for The Drop Set under podcasts. It'll come up. You can leave a review, just a star review, or write a review if you want. I would appreciate it so much. So thank you. That's all I got. So I'm going to sign off for this week. We'll be back next Thursday with, you know, Who knows? Who knows what will be on the agenda next week? It's a week away. I don't have to start planning for that yet. Heck no. So at any rate, thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. Check me out online. Oh, here we go. Fivestarphysique.com. You can email me directly, Darren at fivestarfitness.com. You can find me on Instagram, Darren_star, facebook.com/fivestarphysique. You can search Five Star Physique on Pinterest, and you can also search Five Star Physique on YouTube. And it's at Darren Star on Twitter. I always forget that one, but I remembered it this time. I think I got them all out. So that's it. I'm signing out. Thank you all for listening, sticking through with this whole episode. If you have questions on anything else, email me, contact me through any of those other venues that I just mentioned. Everybody have a fantastic week.